Chapter 13, verse 2. Let's all stand together. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 2, the Bible says, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. The last portion of that verse says, howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Bill, could you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Please. 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 Amen, amen. You may be seated. Many times, God has an uncanny way of changing a curse that comes upon us into a tremendous blessing. Many times, God takes the hard times in our life and turns them around and makes them such wondrous times and wondrous blessings. How many could say amen to that? I know we've suffered through many of them. I know we've suffered through a lot of circumstances maybe that not everybody goes through, but the key is we did go through them, and the key word is through. We didn't stay in them. We got through them, and the Lord wrought a tremendous blessing out of the vast majority of those things. Now, those are things that we didn't earn. There are things that we do earn. There's mistakes that we make. There's words that we speak or actions that we do that God decides He's going to maybe give a little chastisement our way, or maybe bring a little bit of a curtain down on your act. And He decides that He's going to go ahead and show you that He still is on the throne and He still is reigning and He still is the King of Kings. And it's amazing how often God will take that, ruin what you had in mind, and then go ahead and turn that into a blessing in your life. God is tremendous at taking cursings and taking bad things and taking horrible things and then going ahead and turning them to great and wondrous blessings. Now, if I would just about guess, I would think the vast majority of us do not take pom-poms and start cheerleading when we're going through bad times in our life. Not many of you are that godly as far as I know. Now, there are some that will praise the Lord even in the midst of their infirmities. I've seen it happen. There are some that use the things that they're going through as a way to get closer to the Lord or as a way to have more faith in Him. I've watched Miss Debbie. I've watched Brother Mike. I've watched the preacher. I've watched several people fall under attack from health or from other issues that they've been going through. And the Lord has turned it into a great blessing, maybe not necessarily for them, but He certainly made it a blessing for others to be able to see what they've gone through and that God will take care of them. Amen? Now, when God blesses you, a lot of times God will bless you in a very real way. He will give you something like He'll pay a bill or He'll bring something into your life that you weren't expecting. And sometimes, and I'm going to go over this here just a little bit, I want to give you a wonderful example of preventative medicine. Okay? There's a lot of times that God gives us wondrous blessings because we've asked for them to use in a certain way. And I'm not saying that anybody's done this. I'm just saying think about what you're asking for, why you're asking for it, and then if God gives it to you, be careful how we use God's blessings. Now, the reason I'm saying it's preventative medicine is because just that, I really don't know of anybody that's done anything of this nature. But as I started perusing the scripture, I saw Nehemiah saying he turned this curse into a blessing. I started realizing, oh man, how many times God has taken things in my life that I didn't understand, that I would say, oh God, why? Why did you do this? And then God all of a sudden turns it around and shows me why. And it's an ultimate, wonderful blessing that God has given. I didn't see it at the time, but then afterwards I see it. And it's amazing how we as Christians, when we don't see it, we're mad. I mean, hopping mad. I can't believe this is going on. And then as soon as we get over here, oh, yeah, that's why God helped me. Yeah, I see it. Acting as though we knew all along that we'd end up here. Amen. But as we see these verses, I want to take you back to Exodus chapter 32, and I want to show you a curse that God brought down on his people. And I'm going to ask you a few questions. Actually, just one real question, I guess. In Exodus chapter 32, we've heard this story, but I just want to kind of read through some of this, if you don't mind. I mean, it's only 6:25. The Browns have already lost. You don't have to worry about rushing home. In verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain." Now, we understand that this is when he went up into the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. Amen? He wanted to get his instruction from the instructions from God. God was going to go ahead and give him that. Moses didn't come down fast enough. Like my kids don't clean their room fast enough. Like mom and dad don't buy them iPads fast enough. Okay. Here comes Moses, delayed to come down of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt." Can I ask you a question? Did the man bring him up out of Egypt? Okay, just asking. "We wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Now, can I ask you a question? First of all, why do they pick a cow? I've never understood that. I know that's in their religious history, okay? And I know we can go to books. This is what they had. But Austin, steak's good. But I don't think I'm going to worship it. I really don't. I mean, I don't understand why a cow, out of all the animals you could pick, how about we worship a horse? How about we worship something really cool? You know, a cow? And here they make a golden calf, and Aaron makes it. Did you not see Aaron make it? Aaron graved with a graving tool. Aaron's the one to do it. And they are here making a god which exists only after everything happened. Is that not true? Does it not just now exist? They just made it. And this is what they say. "This is the god that brought us out of the land of Egypt." Well, how'd that happen? We just made him. He wasn't even there. Right? "And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it." Now the preacher's going out of his mind. The associate pastor has lost his mind. You knew that all along. This message is fitting right in for you, amen? Here's the funny thing. Aaron, because of the people. Now this is what you got to be careful of, folks. Just a side note here. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to preach to make you happy. Ever. Okay, there's never going to be a time that I preach to make you happy. You may get happy. It may make you happy, but I'm not preaching to make you happy. Amen? I'm preaching what God wants me to preach. I don't care what else, if everyone goes away, I don't care. That's what I'm going to preach. Here's Aaron. The people are saying, "Hey, buddy, I don't know what in the world's happened to Moses. We need a god. Get us a god out here right now." And he made a golden calf. Then he builds an altar in front of it. Now we're getting religious around the cow. Amen? That's what they're doing. They're getting religious around the cow. They're getting ready to bow down, make fire, do all these wonderful things, these sacrifices. What are you going to sacrifice to a cow? You sacrifice bullocks and stuff like that to the Lord. Do you sacrifice a bullock to a cow? How does that work? Amen? Do you see the absurdity of what they're doing here? Now, look at this. They rose up early on the morrow, verse 6, and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Church. Amen. More people would come, preacher, if you'd play. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the..." By the way, how many did they make? Did they make one? These be thy gods? Anyways, whatever. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Now look at this. You see that they have done something wrong. Now, Christian, it's easy for us to see this. But you in your life and my life too, this is preventative medicine. Preventative medicine. Okay? Shut up, Austin. This is preventative medicine. Okay? Be very careful with the blessings that God gives you, because you have to use them as God would be pleased. Throughout my life, many things have come into my life that I knew were blessings from God. How I use them is so very, very important. You ever, my dad used to do this all the time. He would give me something or a privilege, or he would say, son, you can now do this or whatever, just to see what I would do with it. Just to see if I would take the responsibility. See, in my opinion, the ministry is a tremendous privilege. I have been blessed with being able to stand in front of people behind this pulpit and shout about how great our Lord is now for 20 years. Do you understand the responsibility it is for me to treat that privilege, that blessing that God has given me, as it's supposed to be treated? Now, the reason I say that to you is this. Imagine, Brother Bill, you're called to preach, right? Imagine if you turn into a Rod Parsley. Whatever. I mean, it has happened. There is one. Okay. By the way, Rod Parsley started out as an independent fundamental Baptist, if that'll stiffen you up a little bit. Imagine what happens. We've been given a great privilege. Men, we've been given a great privilege to serve the Lord. We've been given a great privilege to preach the Word of God. It is a blessing that God has given us. What you do with that blessing is ultra important. I know people personally right now that have been given the wonderful blessing, the wonderful privilege of reading and going through the Bible, the Word of God in an English language, the King James Bible, and now are taking that blessing and turning their back on it, not using the blessing that God has given you. I can promise you it will turn that blessing into a curse. See, we understand this. I know that our building's not full on a Sunday night. I know it. I'm well aware of that. But I'm not going to change the parameters of the ministry laid forth in the Bible to make sure our seats are filled. I've been given this wonderful privilege and blessing to be able to preach the Word of God. And I'm not going to go ahead and do whatever I want to do, because God has given me this blessing, and I don't want to turn that blessing into a curse. Now, I want you to look back. He's ferociously mad. Wouldn't you say that God is angry? Wouldn't you say his anger is waxing hot? I mean, I don't know about you, but if somebody tells me their anger is waxing hot, that just that boggles my mind right there. My brother Mike, if you would have told your kids growing up, Josh, my anger is waxing hot, I mean, I'd have to run to my room crying right there. That's a lot of words that say that I'm mad at you. Right? I mean, I'm mad at you doesn't even fit into my anger is waxing hot. Okay? If a dad can be calm enough to say all those words and get them out, you're in trouble. Because the vast majority of the time when I get mad, my words run together and I sound like a moron. My kids, I just can't get the words out that I want to say to my kids. So I hit them really hard. I'm just kidding. So we understand this. Here's my question. They make this calf out of gold, okay? I want you to, can you go back to Exodus chapter 20 with me? Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Not a cow, God, right? Now, skip all the way down to verse 23. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you what? Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to me pretty easy to understand, right? Now, if you go back, I want you to see verse 24 of the previous chapter. The Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and who? If you look at chapter 19, verse 24. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and who with thee? Aaron. Wait, who? Aaron. So Aaron got to hear, thou shalt make, right? Aaron got to hear all the words that the Lord had said, thou shalt not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. Is that not true? Aaron knows this rule, right? Now, if you understand, see, God works very specifically. That's why it worries me when you see these churches going crazy and doing all these just unbelievable things. If God is not in it and God has not given it to you in this, you cannot take the blessing of serving God and do whatever you want to with it. Because if it's listed in here, then it's right. But if it's not listed in here, then it's not right. And quit doing it and acting as if it is. Aaron decides he's going to go ahead and do it. Why? Because the people were clamoring for it. Right? I can understand, and this is why nobody's ever done this. Nobody would have the guts to come up here and say, preacher, I think we need a set of drums up on the stage. Because it would become a stage if it had drums on it. I hate the word stage. This is a platform. Isn't that weird? Preachers are nutty. But this is a platform, not a stage. A stage is where we go to see concerts. Not a concert here. This is preaching time. Amen. I'm not going to have drums up there. I'm not going to have a guitar up there. Well, look at the scripture, brother. It says praise him with cymbals, praise him with timbrel and dance. What, we not dance? You know what? We have never seen that kind of dance. I guarantee you that. And the kind of dance that you're thinking of right now ought not be anywhere in this church house. Now, that was a side note, by the way. Now, as we see that Aaron was here, and we can't take liberties on the way that God wants us to worship him. We can't take liberties on the way that God wants us to do things. That's why, one, it's important to know the rules. Amen. It's good for me to tell you that Aaron was there. See, Aaron can't come out and say, you know what, I really didn't know. He can't come down to Moses and say, you know what, sorry, Mo, I didn't know. You liked that, didn't you? So here's the funny thing. He gets there, and he makes this stuff after seeing what God had said. Is that not right? He heard God say it, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and don't make these gold things. Don't make gold gods. Is that not right? So Aaron has been given this ministry of becoming a high priest right underneath of Moses. Do you imagine the things that Aaron saw with his eyes? Huh? Do you think Aaron is privy to what happened when God brought his people out? Do you think Aaron is privy to the things that God did to bring the people out? And as you look at these verses, and it talks about Moses coming back down, and it talks about Moses scolding Aaron, it talks about Aaron saying, I didn't do it, the people did. They made me. How many preachers do we hear from that the people made them do it? You know, this is what bothers me. Our preachers that are here, I'm nobody, I understand that. Please, you don't have to take any advice from me whatsoever, but you need to hear this. Quit getting in the books that people write. Well, they're good people. Quit getting in the books that people write. And start getting in the book that God wrote. I'm not saying our preachers are doing that, but the greatest thing you can do to ruin your ministry is listen to what other men have to say about it. You say, well, you learned everything you know from preacher. Preacher didn't teach me out of a book other than the Bible. And if he doesn't line up with this, I'm not lining up with him. So you got to understand something. There's got to come a point in your life where you stop, you cease ye from man. Cease ye from man. Whose breath is in his nostrils? That's a question, by the way. And that's God's breath that's in there. Let's go ahead and focus on what God wants. So as you see Aaron saying, well, you know what? Colton is really tall and big. And Colton said, we need to have a cow. So I decided to go ahead and make a cow. It was all Colton. Colton twisted my arm and everything. Hey, it took a long time for him to grave that thing. Can you understand? He had to engrave the gold. Aaron had the talent to engrave the gold to make the cow. And because the people clamored for it, Aaron decided to do it. Hey, my leader has left me. Let me ask you a question. Preacher's not here tonight. You think the preaching ought to change? Huh? Preacher's not here. I'm not here. Brother Bobby's preaching. Bobby, should the preaching change? Huh? Is the message different because of the man? If I leave, Bobby leaves, everybody's gone. You're here preaching. Besides Taylor killing you later, would you change your message? It's easy to say that in here, but I challenge you, don't change your message. Don't change the message. Don't change the message. And when some of you teenagers get right and start preaching, don't change the message. See, what's amazing to me is this. It's easy to see why churches go to the wayside. It's easy to see why Akron Baptist Bridge Temple of the Southern Gospel, glory to Godness, over there in Akron has changed everything. Now, stainless steel, big fat tub with a lighted cross that every time somebody gets baptized, they lift them up, the cross goes bling, 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 bling. Are we at racing? Are we supposed to have drag races at this place? Let me tell you something. That baptismal is not about some stupid Broadway show. That's about obeying God. It's a blessing. Do you know what Dallas Billington built that place into? One of the greatest churches that have ever been in Northeast Ohio. One of the greatest. Dallas Billington built it into. And it's a shadow of its former self. Why? Because they decided to take that blessing and turn it into a curse. The blessing that God has given us the gospel. The blessing that God has given us these things. And they turn it into a curse. You see it on the walls. Got the biggest kick. You see Dallas the senior suit. You see Dallas his son suit. Beautiful. You see, go down the line of preachers. And it gets to the grand boy. Whatever. He's in a mock turtleneck, long hair. That was the pastor, not anymore, but that was the next pastor in line. That is taking what God has given and turning it into a curse. Now you can say, well, you're leaning too much on tradition right now. I'm going to tell you right now, as long as I have breath, this Bible's going to be my old paths, and this is where I'm going to stay. As long as I have breath. Thankfully, I don't know any other way. Look at this now. If you look at these verses, you see that God gave us a very, very specific way to do things. Now, I want you to answer me another question. Turn back to Exodus 12. They make this molten calf, and they decide that we're going to serve God the way we want to serve God. This is going to make this our God. And because they decide to make this their God, obviously didn't work out too well, and the Lord said it was a curse unto them. But I want you to see this. And here's the question. And I know you probably know where I'm going already. But if you look at Exodus chapter 12, and if you go down to 35, I want you to understand something. The 10 plagues have happened. Okay? Israel's leaving. They're kicked out. Finally, Egypt let loose. And the Israelites are leaving. And this is what God says. He says, the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of what? Of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Now, unless the Israelites, on their plight across the wilderness, found a few gold mines along the way, where'd they get the gold? This blessing, this constant blessing this thought process that God was going to do a few things with this gold. Now, it wasn't just for jewelry. God had planned on building his tabernacle with that gold. If you look just a little bit later on in Exodus, you see the tabernacle starting to go. You see Moses starting to make the things of the tabernacle. What do you think Moses made the tabernacle out of? Silver, gold, things that God had given them. See, they didn't go mine the gold, Amanda. It was a blessing that God gave them. That blessing that God gave, they took with them as they went. There were millions of Jewish people leaving Egypt. It wasn't like 65 people left, as much gold as we can carry, and that was everything. Oh, no. There was millions, and they all got something out the door. Did they earn it? Did they do anything to get it? All they did was accept that God made the Egyptians have favor with them, and they took the gold with them. And there's a lot of messages that can be preached right there. Please don't misread me, but I'm sticking with one thought. The blessing that God gave them on the way out did not stop with the gold. He gave them more blessings to go through the Red Sea, to see their enemies crushed, to get water at Mara. There are so many things that God gave them along the way. Did they not see the constancy of God's blessings and the wonderful blessing that it was just to be part of what God was doing? Yet here we are, just a little bit later on. Moses tarries. They haven't heard from God for a while. This is preventative medicine. Haven't heard from God for a while. I'm going to do things my way. I haven't seen anything great from God in a while. I'm going to go ahead and do things my way. I see all these other churches that are building great and wondrous works by just going a little bit into the world. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't even like the television screens that show the big face of the preacher while he's preaching. I don't like them. Why? Because it ain't my face and I'm too ugly to be on a TV that big anyhow. I don't like that they have songs on the hymns on the board with the bouncing ball. I want you to hold a book. What's wrong with turning pages? I want to stay with the old fud-dud path. That's the way it works. Why? Because that's what God blessed us with. That's what God gave us. I didn't do anything to get those hymn books. I didn't do anything to get the wondrous work that God has put here. I didn't do anything to get it. What did I do? I didn't do anything. All I did was show up and God blessed me. Did I do anything to get the gospel? Did I do anything to get salvation? Does anybody see where I'm going with this? Listen, we have, as Christians and in a church, we have been given the wondrous blessings by God freely. It cost us nothing. But we can use those blessings in the wrong way. The gold. Miss Taylor, God gave them the gold, right? And when God gave them the gold, it was theirs to do with as they saw fit. Can you say amen? He gave them the gold to see that they could do with it as they saw fit, Michael. And when they had it in their possession just long enough, they decided to make a god with it. When man gets in his possession a blessing of God, you give it to him long enough, if he gets his eyes off God, he will turn that blessing into a curse. How many times have we seen it in this very building? People come through and they get something wondrous from God. How many people do you know of that have great and wondrous gifts from God? They've got gifts and they have the ability to sing, the ability to preach, the ability to do things for God that not many other people can do. They've got these great abilities that God has given them. And they decide to use that for their own gain, their own thoughts. By the way, they were still going to church, right? You're not going to like this. If you're not an independent fundamental Baptist church, you're not in church. Boy, that went over like a lead balloon. Let me tell you something. God built his church upon what he taught. God built his church upon him when he was here. We're in it. Praise the Lord. If we change that, are we still in that church? No. And what they were doing is this. They were deciding to make church on their terms, were they not? Moses was not fast enough. Well, God gave us this, and we're going to take that gift that God gave us, and we're going to show God who God really is. He's really this cow. And we laugh at that, but you know how often I laugh at some of the other churches that are out there and the crazy things that they do? Acting as if this is right? Do you know that they thought that was right? If they didn't think it was right, would they have done it? Here they have a blessing, and you got to ask yourself, who in the world gave them the gold that they used to make the calf? I wonder why God's anger waxed so hot. Think about it. Oh, I did this, and my dad got so mad at me, but whatever. My dad would not get me a BB gun to save my life. He knew if he got me a BB gun, I would shoot stuff. That's just the way it worked. I mean, that's what you do with them, right? I mean, whatever. But one of these days came along a slingshot. Well, he figured, you know, good night, what can a slingshot do? Well, he gave me this wonderful gift. And if you want to see a parent get mad, take that gift and tear up their garage windows with it. Like you thought I would do anything else with it. Come on, you knew I was going to shoot something. From a distance of about 30 yards, I had no inclination at all that it was going to hit that window. Why was I aiming at it then? Right? Kids are dumb. That's why you, when the kid, what happened? I don't know. Because you're dumb. I took that thing and reared back, pointed at the front of the garage, and let it fly. And the window blew up. My dad was so mad at me because I begged him and 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 begged him for that gift. He gave me the gift and I used it against him. Now listen. I begged God over and over and over again, oh God, please make me a preacher. Please make me a preacher that gets an opportunity to preach. I begged him. What shall I do with the gift God's given me? What shall I do, Austin, with the blessing that God has given me? Shall I make a golden calf out of it? I didn't earn it. Did you earn preaching, Brother Bill? Did you earn preaching? I don't remember you earning preaching along the way. You're a good fellow, but you didn't earn preaching. It's a blessing. It's a wondrous gift. Did you earn the gift of being able to talk to anybody in the whole wide world and make them feel like they've known you for 800 years? No. But what do you want to do with it? See, it's a gift that's been given to you. It's a ministry God's given you, the visitation ministry, to be able to talk to people, make you feel like they're your friend. What has God given you? And you can use it however you want. See, God gave them the gold. God gave them that thing. And on the way out the door, in the most odd place in the whole wide world, going out of Egypt, they beg God, oh God, relieve our suffering. Oh God, take us out of this slavery. Oh God, I'm sick of making bricks. And so God brings them out and then pays them for it. And there they are leaving. And by the way, this is amazing to me. It staggers me to know this fact. I look at everything as God already knew it. Everything. Can you imagine? God knew that they were going to make the stupid cow. And he still gave them the gold. Now let me ask you a question. Let's rewind to me. Do you think that my dad gives me the slingshot if he knows that a $4 window repair is coming the next day? No. Why? Because my dad's not an idiot. And my dad knows me. And my dad's not going to do that. He's going to give me choices, but he's not going to give me that choice ever again. Wait, though. God knew it, Kaylee. He knew what he was going to do with your gift to be able to sing. He knew it. What are you going to do with it? We don't know. Can you honestly say what you're going to do tomorrow? You got to make a determined decision. A determined decision in your life to take what God has given you. And I don't know what it is. By the way, don't get wrapped up in the spiritual gift chapter of the Bible. So many people spend so much time there acting like that's the only gift they've ever had. Do you know God gives you many things that you can do? And they're all gifts. They're all blessings. Amen? Can I ask you something? God knows what you're going to do. You don't know what you're going to do. So don't you think you ought to say, I'm going to do with what I've got from God what God wants me to do with it. He wanted that gold there for their substance. He wanted that gold there so they wouldn't have to work hard to build their tabernacle. He wanted that gold there so they could maybe buy some things down the road, maybe be able to get some things down the road. He gave them that substance. He gave them that gift. He gave them that blessing. And after he gave them that blessing, there they went and took their associate pastor. And by the way, an associate pastor can ruin a church real fast because he's got smart ideas. We're dumb. Listen to your preacher. Here we go. They make this calf, they make this cow. Here they are dancing around. Moses comes down. His anger waxed hot. God's anger waxed hot. Why? Because the blessing that God gave them, they're using it against God. Turning that blessing into a curse. I'm going to tell you this is preventative because I don't know of anybody that's doing this. I know people that have done it. But I don't know anybody sitting in front of me right now that's taking the blessing that God has given them, the blessing of salvation, the blessing of some sort of talent for the Lord, the blessing of just knowing about God and being able to read. Do you know what a blessing it is to be able to look upon your Bible and read it? Do you know that everybody in the whole wide world knows how to read? Do you know that people are blind? You know that people can't speak? People can't feel. Not everybody has all their limbs. Not everybody has all their faculties. There's a lot of people have a lot of things going wrong with them. And here we are with all the blessings in the whole wide world. And I hope and pray that you never get to a point where you're making a golden calf with them. I worry sometimes because I see this world running that way so fast. I see this world going that direction so fast. Do you know, at the fingertips of these teenagers, they've got every piece of information they could ever want in the whole wide world. Between their iPods, computers, they have the information right there. Do you know, when I was a kid, we had to work so hard to get a research paper done. These kids can peruse for 7 minutes on the computer and have 18 different research papers in front of them on their subject. And I say research paper, they're like, ah! Two months in advance. Every one of them waits till the last week. I was no different. I just didn't have the computer. The blessing. The blessing that God has given you. I'll use you as an example because you're sitting here and sleeping. You look nice. Purple. Let me ask you a question, son. Did you earn Christian school? Mm-hmm. Did you earn having a bedroom in the house of cells? No. By the way, none of you kids earned any of that, right? Jimmy, as good as you are, you didn't earn a bed in their house, right? You're nowhere on the deed. Okay. Can I ask you a question? What are you going to do with the gift that they've given you? The gift of being able to go to a Christian school, what are you going to do with the gift that they've given you? The gift of being a deacon's wife, what are you going to do with the gift that God has given you? What are you going to do with the blessing that God has given you? What are you going to do with the knowledge that you have that God has given you from His Word? What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with the rules that God has given you that are such a blessing to your life? What are you going to do with those rules? Are you going to turn those blessings into a curse? Do you know ignoring what God wants for you is doing the same thing as turning the blessings into a curse? I ignored for years the calling that God had on my life, ignored it. I thought sure my wife was going to leave me. Now she's sure. But I thought sure she was going to. She told me when she met me, I'll marry you, but you can't be a preacher. I said, okay. I I didn't care. I just wanted to marry her. It didn't matter to me. I figured I'd be a sanitary technician. For about the first year, I felt God just squeezing and squeezing and squeezing around my neck. Got to a point where I wrote down in a book, my wife's sneaky. I wrote in my book, prayer requests. A prayer journal, had one for years. And I wrote, prayer requests. God's so good to me. Please make my wife not get mad when I tell her I'm surrendering to preach. For years, that was in there. She never looked at it. I don't know why she didn't look at it. But I had people praying for that, even. I actually asked people, please pray that I was a chicken. That's just all it was. And one day she came to me. What a blessing. And she said this to me, are you sure? Do you know how many men, their wives, when they surrender to preach, ask them, are you sure? And what's the man's answer? Yeah, well, you better be good at it. You know, that's the next thing. Here we are. We're having our 20th anniversary this year. She told me, if you're going to be the best one you can be. I surrendered to preach right after that. I'll never forget it. I walked from here to here with my chest held out because I knew it's my dad. Right? How hard is that? It's my dad. I'm just going to walk up, tell him he's going to get excited, click his heels, praise the Lord. I walked up and I got to right about here, and the Lord deflated me. That's the God's honest truth. I don't even know how else to explain it. But all of a sudden, my shoulders slunk down, and I came to the realization of the blessing that God was giving me. See, what we do, what you do with your blessing, is what God wants you to do with your blessing. You don't want to do what God doesn't want you to do with the blessing He's given you. See, we have a thought process here. And if you turn to this last verse, and I'll be all done. If you look at Exodus chapter 32, verse 35, I showed you where God didn't like it. I saw where the people got their blessing from. And let me tell you, all blessings come from above. They really do. And I showed you those things, and then I'm going to show you the result of their insolence, the result of their deciding to do with their blessing what they wanted to do. Would you not agree that what they got was a blessing from God? Amen? Those earrings that they had, that gold that they had on them, was not theirs. When they left Egypt, they didn't have anything, right? God gave them those things on the way out the door, unless they came across gold somewhere in the middle, which I don't think they did. Now here they go, running across the wilderness, getting to the point where they're supposed to build a tabernacle, give all the gold for this, and they still have some left over, glory to God. It's amazing how God gives us blessings, and there's still some left over, even after we give out all that we've got. Amen? I don't care how many messages I preach, I don't care how many things I do, there's still more ministry that can be done. There's still more things. There's still more people to meet. There's still more grades to get. There's still more things to do with our young people. We will never run out of stuff to do for God. The Bible will never get old. It will never get out of date. God, glory to God, He's given us everything in a blessing that never ends. Now, what you do with the blessing is up to you, but when you misuse it, this is what you can expect. Verse 35, and the Lord plagued the people, because they made the calf which Aaron made. There's two things I want you to see here. Number one, I want you to see that they were plagued because of something that they did. Okay? They were plagued because of something they did. And by the way, this is preventative. I don't know if anybody's doing anything like this right now, but please understand this. If you do something that God doesn't like, it was you that did it, not anybody else. I'm not a big fan of people blaming somebody else for something that they did. Mitchell, I got to be honest with you, son. If you do something bad, guess who did it? It was Mitchell. See, I know I get complaints from the parents all the time. Well, you're too hard on my kid. My kid's afraid of you. I want your children to be afraid of me. And I want the best for them. I don't want something second rate. I don't want them to leave this place not knowing about the Lord. I'm not going to sit there and say, it's okay to get D's, buddy. Please, rake them in. I'm not. I want him to get his best grades. I want the kids to do their best. I want my members to do their best. I want my preacher to do their best. I want to do my best. I don't want something else. And I'm going to tell you, if I mess up, Brother Bill, it's because I messed up. And I don't want to look for anybody else to blame. I'm telling you, I'm a little tired of really, really highfalutin preachers that will blame their success or failure on other people. I'm going to tell you right now, that's calf-type religion to me. And I want to do what God wants me to do, not what anybody else wants me to do, and God wants my best. I don't always do it. But I want to take that blessing that God has given me, and I want to do my best. Second thing I want to show you. Because they made the calf which Aaron made. I want to caution you when you get your blessing to not give your blessing to a man. That's good stuff. I hope you stay with me for just one more minute. Many, many people get their hearts hurt, their lives hurt. And I know you could tell me right now of a person that has told you the reason I don't come to church is because somebody hurt me. A lot of people. Let me tell you, it's going to happen. People are stupid in general. And you say, well, I'm people. I understand that, but I'm telling you, we do dumb things sometimes. In the midst of your bad day, you can't wait to get mad at somebody, and somebody else can't wait to find out about it. I'm going to tell you, it's a big, fat mix. And it gets real bad quick because then you know you got somebody trying to cover that up. You got somebody over here trying to cover that up, blah, 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 blah. Let me help you out. I love my dad with all my heart. I do not follow my dad. I hold him up as my pastor. I do everything in the whole wide world that he would ask me to do. He's my boss. I understand all those things. But I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not popular because a lot of preachers desperately want you to follow them. And I understand that they are our under-shepherd. I understand all those things. Please don't misread me. But if my dad were to fall, it will not hurt my ministry one way or the other. Do you know why? I don't have my eggs in his basket. I have my eggs in God's basket. I don't want us to ever get to the point. Let me tell you something. I'm just going to say the name right out loud. When Brother Scott fell, it hurt multitudes of people. It hurt multitudes of people. One of the most vibrant, exciting ministries in the whole wide world, built by God through Dr. Hiles, was decimated in a real quick thing because that man fell because they had their eyes on him. Why did the people fall? If Aaron would have stood up that day, Jarrett, and says, we ain't making no cow. Huh? But he didn't. He said, bring me. What did Aaron say? Bring me the stuff. I'll make you a god. If your preachers start doing that to you, get out. Get out, because you're not supposed to be following preachers. You're not supposed to be following them. You're not supposed. Don't make yourself a Grayite, a Lacyite, a Hilesite. Make yourself a Christian. That ain't popular preaching in a lot of churches. I don't care. I don't care. I don't follow Dr. Gray. I love him. I don't follow him. I follow Jesus Christ. If Dr. Gray falls, I preach next week. I don't care. That don't bother me. I'm not in anybody's camp. I'm in God's camp. And if they would not have followed that man and given their blessing, because by the way, you can give your blessing to whoever you want. Am I wrong? You can give your blessing to whoever you want. The blessing of your service. You can serve wherever you want, right? You can give your service to the Lord and serve him here, or you can give your service to Dr. Skyver, who may turn out wrong. See, I'm not saying my dad, good Lord, he is not going to change. Please don't even think that I'm putting that doubt in your mind. He's not going anywhere. He's not changing. He's going to be the same guy he's always been. Believe me. He's not changing. But I don't want you to put your focus on that man. Amen. Because he might hurt you. He never will. They made the mistake of going to the second man, not their preacher. By the way, you come to me with a problem, I'm probably going to direct you to the preacher.
Well, you're the co-pastor. Yeah. I'm the co-pastor. I will co-send you over there to see the pastor. Amen. Why? Because I watch over and over and over again second men getting the blessings of the people. Right? Getting the blessings of, Dr. Lacey told me, oh, story broke my heart. He built a church, 1,400 people. His son-in-law sat in the gate just like David's son, Absalom. Turned the hearts of the people to him and then stabbed his father-in-law in the back. Dr. Lacey stabbed his father-in-law in the back. And his father-in-law ended up losing his church because of his son-in-law. You don't follow men. And you certainly don't cast in your lot with the guy that's not in charge. I love our associate pastors with all my heart. Do not throw in your lot with these guys. Love them. Hold them up. Pray for them. They serve you. I serve you. And I want you to be happy and I want you to be excited about the ministry. But do not throw the blessings that God has given you into men. Why? Because you're asking for God to plague your life. No good can come of it. As good as Dr. Hiles was, do you realize that people got hurt even through Dr. Hiles? People got hurt, why? Because a rumor started, and when that rumor fell apart, people dropped out of church left and right. Why? Because they had their faith in a man. They had their blessings in a man. They put all of their stock on a man. Don't put your stock in a man. Put your stock in Jesus Christ. Take your blessings and offer them to God. You say, well, I've been hurt in the past. Too late. I've been hurt in the past. Well, let me tell you something. We started out reading Nehemiah. And I expressed to you how good God was at taking curses and turning them into blessings. You may have had issues in the past. You may have had things go wrong in your life, but understand this. Jesus Christ is very good at taking that and turning it into a blessing. You're not finished. You're not done. Your ministry is still there. You may have messed up, but a ministry for you is still there. Why don't you do yourself a favor and seek out Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, would you please turn that curse that I've made? He didn't make it a curse. Do you see anywhere in here? Do you see anywhere in here that God did this? Huh? The Lord made the rules, follow the rules. They didn't follow the rules. This is what they get. The Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Folks, I'm telling you to follow Jesus Christ. I'm telling you to get in His Word and learn of Him for yourself. Do not allow me or preacher or anyone else to tell you something out of this book without you looking at it too. Why? It falls on you. This is a blessing for you. Find the blessing. Use it. Because that's what God would want out of our lives. Let God keep that blessing a blessing. Amen? Let's let God keep His blessing a blessing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this night. Oh God, please. I believe our ministry is going to go forward here for as long as we'll keep our eyes focused on You. I believe we'll keep our ministry here as long as we keep our eyes focused on giving us our blessings that You've given us to You. See, that's the thing that astounds me about this, is that it's things that You gave them. Without You, they would have none of this. And then they went and took that blessing and turned it against You. Oh God, please help us to realize that You have a very specific purpose for us. And if we take that blessing and turn it into a curse, God, it's on us. Lord, please don't let us go in that direction. Lord, please let us come to the realization that we've got a very important job to do. And Lord, I'm so thankful I'm in a church that understands that we have a very important job to do. As I said, Lord, I'm not bringing this because I'm smacking on anybody. God, I'm not. I don't know of anybody that's doing this. But Lord, I don't ever want anybody to do this. I don't ever want them to take their blessing and turn it against God. I don't ever want them to take what they've been given and turn it around and not serve You. Oh God, please help us. Help us to realize the wondrous, tremendous blessing that You've given us, because God, You've given us everything. Lord, be with us tonight in a special way. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I believe with all my heart that everyone in here knows the Lord as their Savior. They've got that blessing, but I think I'm going to ask you anyhow. Would you be willing to say with an uplifted hand that I know, that I know, that I know that if I died right now, I've been given the blessing of salvation. I've taken that blessing. I'm so thankful for it. I know that I'm saved. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? Every single person in this room has got their hands up. God didn't stop there, by the way. God's given us blessings, and if we'll look and see and open our eyes, we'll see all the wondrous things that God has given us. Sometimes health, sometimes financial, sometimes knowledge from the Scripture, sometimes something. He's given us something. If we'd be honest, God's given us great blessings in our life. Christian, my challenge is, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with them? God's given us great things. What are we going to do with them? It's very important that we use the blessings that God has given us in a way that God would be pleased. Because I think He's earned that right. He's earned that right to expect us to use what He's given us in the way that He would like. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this wonderful evening. Oh God, please be with this invitation in a special way. Heal my pastor. There's so many people that need Your healing touch. Mrs. Gannant, my wife, my mother-in-law. Oh God, they need You so bad. Please be with them. Please be with Miss Debbie Black. Lord, she's going through it real bad still. Lord, be with her. There's so many. Lord, please be with them. And Lord, let them take the wondrous blessings that You've given them. Lord, please help them to use them and continue to have blessings from You. Lord, please be with us tonight in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.